excited and we're starting.
Just kidding. I was hoping it was picking up her talking during the intro. So be like, oh, hey, sorry to interrupt you with this podcast episode.
No, I stopped.
Yeah, it's fine. The Phonics is a funny video.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but no one else listening does. Because that was before we hit record.
I know. But anyways, there's a funny reel about how the English language is extremely complicated and it doesn't make sense. And somebody, like some comedian, made a whole joke about it. And it's really funny and it's real. That's it.
Which leads us to today's topic about American phonics.
Thanks for tuning in.
No, not really.
Welcome to Double Ping Pong.
Oh. I really thought you were saying the same thing.
I know.
For a second.
Yeah, because you guys like both like went in and then like you kind of had the same words going on. I was like, wow, there's
are we about to see
on.
It?
I started to just fade out because I knew I was losing. No, I don't even remember what I was going to say.
What are you guys learning?
Ow.
Oh, that was a really hard knee slap.
Yeah, she slapped herself. It wasn't Jeremy. What are we learning? What are you learning, honey?
I need a moment to process the question.
Me too. Haley, what are you learning?
It's not a good way to... Last time we opened up like that, it was the whole episode.
That's true.
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do what the
today's
question.
Topic
what am
is
I
about?
Learning?
Oh, what?
I thought you were...
Oh, I was just like, okay, well, we usually talk about the books we're reading or the podcasts we've listened to, so since I started the question, I'll start, or I asked the question, I'll start.
Answer yourself, will you?
Podcasts. I don't know if I listened to any podcasts recently in the past couple weeks. I feel like I have, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Oh, actually, I did. The last podcast we listened to... And it was called The Epidemic of Pornography and Christian Discipleship. And it was with, Theology in the Raw. And I think his name was Nick, potentially. He's a pastor out in Michigan. But it was really good. I would recommend listening to it. But yeah, but listen to that podcast. And then I started a new book. I finished one book called... I mentioned it, I think, in the last podcast. Scary Close.
I just got that in the mail today.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah, you
it's
told me
so,
to get it, so I got
good.
It.
So good.
His other book about marketing is great, too.
Yeah, because he's a marketer.
He literally has another book about marketing.
Well. Yeah, but I really like his writing, and I really felt so... I know, I was just enthralled by his writing and his book, and it was essentially like an autobiography of his life, but it was very good. And then I started a new book called Abba's Child, and I've cried a few times. It's actually a really good book if you struggle with the concept of God loving you fully. Mm. And there's a lot of areas in the book, or it's like letters from certain... It's like a bunch of like theologians and other writers of all around, and they kind of put... There's like tidbits throughout the book of different topics of like... how God has loved us through so many different things. And I don't know, I haven't gotten so far into it. I think I'm only like 25% through, so like whatever. So it's good, but I have cried. So if you're like struggling with that, it might be something good to read. Mm,
that's cool.
So I didn't even know I really felt that way until I started reading the book and I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like there's a lot of things there that I'm like, oh, darn, like I don't really think about it this way, or I don't view myself this way, the way God views me. And yeah, anyways, it's good. It's really good.
That's cool.
On a much less spiritual note, I listened to a podcast today in my truck with my boss, because he rode along with me in the truck that I drive for work. Mm. And I was trying to figure out, because normally I'll listen to like biblical podcasts, things that like are like just trying, I'm just trying to get the word in, just trying to understand things and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, what can I listen to that we both might be interested in? He's a sports guy. I'm not really that much of a sports guy. Oh, wow. And so like, I was just like, what are we gonna do? And I recently was listening to Ninjas Are Butterflies.
I knew that's what you were going to go.
I didn't go this route. Okay. But it took a weird turn, okay?
What is this podcast?
Ninjas Are Butterflies is Cool Carl's podcast. So his name is not Cool Carl. That's a character that Josh Hooper plays. It's
the guy who does all the YouTube skits, the long hair and the beard. He's a huge bastard.
Yeah. So I was listening to his podcast the other day, and he mentioned another podcast called Blurry Creatures, which is basically like they talk about the Sasquatch, they talk about aliens and UFO sightings, and
that's funny.
All this kind of crazy stuff. And I was like, you know what?
Let's put that
maybe
on.
Maybe we'll connect on
some weird
paranormal crazy stuff. And so I let him pick from the episode playlist. I was like, here, just pick something that you think is interesting. And he picked one that's called Sasquatch Lives. And in this podcast, it apparently brought together all of these other podcasters that had to do with all this crazy stuff. Oh my gosh. Cool Carl was in this podcast, and I had no idea. So Josh and his team were in it. And it went everywhere. It was crazy. They talked about portals from porta potties. They talked about tents being ripped up off of people's heads and there being portals everywhere.
From Sasquatches?
They talked about, yes. They didn't,
so boring.
They didn't even start talking about Bigfoot until about 38 minutes into it.
Honestly, I'm interested.
She gets that from her father.
It won't stop her from believing it. I'm not joking.
I'm sure.
And it went everywhere, and I don't know if he checked out halfway through. It was like an hour and a half long.
But did you have it on normal speed?
Yeah, I did. Marie, I don't even understand how to listen to things on anything above that.
So by the end of it,
yeah,
are you a Sasquatch believer?
Oh no! He got converted.
He's rubbing his chest.
There is less of a fence that I'm standing on currently.
It's like UFOs, baby, UFOs.
No, but it's pretty crazy, the stuff that they were talking about. And by the end, it literally was like they were talking about the gospel and like how they try to look at everything biblically and all that kind of stuff. So like, it's weird. It's like a supernatural, like paranormal, like stuff.
I feel
stuff,
like I've heard of it Christian. As an ad in another podcast I was listening to.
Yeah.
There's no way any of the podcasts you listen to endorse that show.
No, yes.
It might have been a warning against.
No, it was like, you know, when they advertise other podcasts sometimes I'm pretty sure. What is it called?
Blurry creatures.
Maybe. I don't think that was it. I don't know. It was like
that's funny.
Christian dudes talking about sci-fi stuff.
It was a trip. They talked about people that were 18 inches tall, that are like Native American, that people are hunting, see. And like they'll notice that little things are like taken, and like then all of a sudden everywhere. Like they'll see them, and they'll make eye contact, but then you'll never see them again. What? Like they'll just disappear. But then when somebody told a story about it, other people
like
said, "No, I've seen those little people before."
Oh my gosh!
But they've only seen them once.
Now are these people they around suspicious mushrooms?
That's what I said. That's what I said initially as well. What? Anyway, that's what I did. And it was interesting because it did talk about God later on. So I don't know if that helped the guy believe in God or made it worse.
Or just made it all crazy.
Everything is weird. Okay, got it. Jesus fits in with the Sasquatch.
But now we're talking about Sasquatches.
As a side note, before we really attended Restoration, one of the big sermon series that Pastor Nate did when we moved into the Strand. So it was, you were going already, so you probably remember. But it was, what was it? Jesus, Bigfoot, and Other Mythical Creatures?
Yeah, I think
was
I
the name
that.
Of the series?
Yeah.
And to advertise it, one of our church members bought a Sasquatch costume
I
and stood outside
this.
The church with a sign.
I don't remember.
Like inviting people in. Yeah.
Wait,
that was forever ago.
We need to bring that back.
I don't remember who did it. We could ask Pastor Nate.
I literally was talking with Lauren.
It was, I think his name, was it Paul?
Yes.
It was Paul.
I don't remember his last name.
Hi,
but yeah,
I'm
his
Paul.
Wife's name was like Diane.
Yeah, I won't get the last name, so moving on.
I think I know it, but I'm not going to say it here.
Anyways, if we find that Sasquatch costume, it would be funny because I was just talking to Lauren from our Dover location on Sunday about how we need to have a time where we all come in inflatable costumes because it was so hot in there with the fans blowing. It would just cool us all down. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the dinosaurs.
Yes. I don't think they cool you down.
I don't know, but it was funny. And I was like, could you imagine us all coming in inflatable costumes to church and just like having a good time?
I thought you were talking about spin class. So doing spin class with all those T-Rex costumes.
I would love to see that. We did
almost do that on Halloween. We talked about that.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny.
They were doing like a Halloween spin ride. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Crazy.
You wouldn't be able to get your leg over.
I think you...
Yeah, you would. It would look so funny.
A T-Rex on a spin.
If you're listening, please do that.
If anyone from the studio is listening to this, someone show up at the studio in a costume.
We should do it.
We should.
No, it needs to be a theme night. It needs to be a theme night.
Okay.
That's so silly.
No, it's got to be Halloween. That's the only time anybody dresses up for spin class. Like,
no, it's got to be in August.
I don't even think people
pick a random day. Hey, everyone.
Just walk by. Marie's 200th ride. We're going to celebrate in T-Rex costumes.
Genius.
Okay, anyways, back on track.
Or the ones where, like, the T-Rex is carrying the guy, or, like, the ones where, like, they're carrying something, but it's like
on a T-Rex riding a bike. It looks like it's you riding a T-Rex riding a bike.
Well, that's layers.
That's funny. So that's what you're learning, all about Sasquatch. Yeah,
that's what I'm learning. I'm also listening to the Bible Project, and they were talking about money and mammon.
Mammon.
Oh, another good thought. Oh, sorry. Oh. I have another thought, but I don't have to share.
So. Give somebody else a chance. I'm just kidding. No, you can say something. Go ahead.
No?
Oh, no, you killed it. Any spirit she had left, you took it out.
Aww. I was joking.
It's good.
Did you answer, Jeremy?
No.
Serious.
Let's see. What am I reading? I started and stopped reading a book. That was themed in Disney World, and it was so cringy even I couldn't get more than like a chapter in. It was so stupid.
Don't even go as far as you explained it to me. I won't, but it's so
you can roll your eyes at the idea of it, because once I got like 10 pages in, I was like, are you kidding? This is what it's about? It's a fictional story that takes place in Disney World after dark, and it was so cringy.
I'm kind of shocked that it was free on Kindle Unlimited.
Okay. So I was like, oh, I'll start to read it. If it seems interesting, I'll pitch it to the kids. We can read it together. Gotcha. That was my initial thought. And then I read it. They're talking about mocap suits and all this technology of holograms. I'm like, this is for adults and it's cringy. Like, no kid will understand. I thought it was like my 6-year-old would enjoy it. But it's over her head, and it's a fictional book about Disney World. It was just stupid, so I could not get through that. So I stopped reading that. But I'm just reading a couple devotional books now. So reading Day by Day, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, as part of trying to have a new daily office rhythm, time with God every so often throughout the day. I'm reading another devotional book called Habitudes. I did read the front cover. I think I mentioned it before. We laughed at that name. It is because it is about habits and attitudes of
That's
leaders.
What I thought.
So yeah, so it is a combination, habitudes.
I thought that was very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So I'm reading that book right now as a devotional, because each chapter is like a completely different topic. Hmm. So it's an image that's supposed to remind you of something, and then he explains the image. So that's been good. Been reading those. And then I'll just go into the idea that I sent you guys, which does tie into the overall kind of topic.
Well, we didn't hear from Marie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marie.
Oh, hello.
When did you get here?
Rob is sharing that Day by Day book with me, which it's been cool so far.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you find that you do well when you read a book together, or like a devotional together? Like, do you guys really put emphasis on doing like a book together or study together?
We go through seasons.
Okay.
Oftentimes when we have to get stuff done by a certain time, that's when we'll do it together, because I can read it I process better if I'm reading, mm-hmm. and he processes better if he's listening. So it works out. I'll read it and he'll listen.
And I'm just a slow reader altogether.
That's not true.
No, I'm really slow. Like if I start reading, I'll get lost like a sentence or so in or get distracted. And then I have to read it again and again and again. And it's just
like never somehow the words are playing in your head, but you're ignoring yourself.
Every word that I'm reading in my head is gone.
I do that too. I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't even thought about a word I've said in my head.
I do that. Yeah.
It's the worst.
I do better if I'm reading out loud, but so well, he's probably way ahead in that book day by day.
I'm only in day two or...
Okay, so we're the same. So anyway, that's what I'm reading. What I'm learning is a lot, what God's teaching me is about bitterness. And so I was talking to Rob the other night about usually there's something big in our lives that we just know, I have to work on this. I have to spiritually grow in this area. Mm. And for me, it's been the temptation to be bitter toward people or toward a situation. And we kind of just discovered that at some point last week, but I was just crying to him. I was I'm not usually like this. I'm not usually a person to be offended easily and I don't think I'm still offended easily, but if things are hounding on me over and over again, rather than being unoffendable and giving grace, I turn to bitterness.
Yeah.
Which obviously is inexcusable. So that's what I'm learning is being able to identify where I'm being bitter and combat that and really then flip it and pray for the person or the situation that I'm bitter toward. Mm. So
that is hard though. How do you walk through life and have keep no record on people, especially if it's repeated behavior that happens? It's so hard to walk through.
It for sure is.
For sure
is. I could tell you. Yeah.
I think what helps at least is making the issues upfront and address those issues, having those confrontations. And those are hard when they're repeated confrontations, because that's when it weighs you down. Because you're is this something that we have to go through again or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, if you know me, I'm not super afraid of confrontation, depending on the person.
Yeah.
But there's some things that just aren't worth confrontation.
Yeah.
Because you know the person that you're dealing with or the situation you're dealing with, and you know the cons outweigh the pros if you confront it, because you just have to have wisdom about it. It's not always oh, I have a problem with you, I'm going to talk to you about it. Sometimes it's my problem.
Right.
So I think one thing that helps me to kind of keep the right mindset, and it's not that I always have the right mindset with it, but is basically just keeping a real view of yourself or myself, just recognizing and remembering and knowing where I came from and what I look like, the whole log in your own eye situation, where it's I know where I came from. I can see where this person is, I can entirely understand why it's frustrating me, but I entirely understand why they could be doing the thing that they're doing that's bothering me. Mm-hmm. And then to also just pull in the scripture that says to have an allowance of grace for people. Mm-hmm. It's just having those things run in my mind. Those are the things that the Spirit of God is using to renew my mind in those types of moments is the log in my own eye and to have an allowance of grace for the people around you, for the people in the church.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. I guess I can kind of go into the conversation about what we're planning to talk about tonight, about how we are to love others, right? That was a conversation we planned to have, and I think that works because that is a challenging part in loving others is the forgiveness aspect, turning the other cheek. How do we live an unoffendable life? So we'll dive right into it.
Yeah. Yeah, because first off, what are the thoughts of why are some people hard to love, or what are the type of people that are hard to love for most people? In our culture, what makes someone hard to love?
Definitely people that you wouldn't agree with on a lot of things. I think in today's culture, politically, would be one that's like...
It's hard to love someone on this side of the political party.
Yes.
Right? We'd say that. Yeah.
Faith and religion.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, belief system. It's hard to love someone who believes differently than me.
Yeah.
I think our culture would say it's hard to love someone who disagrees with me, which is different than the belief system. Like, because I think some people take it to an extreme of, like, you think it's a joke, but the idea of, like, no, I don't like that taco place. And there are people that are like, I can't believe this person. Hates my favorite taco place. Yeah. Like, that exists.
No, for real. They get insulted. Like, it's a,
and cannot
it's a personal
love,
attack.
Cannot love that person.
Yeah.
Those are, like, people that are hard to love, I think, that the world might say. And I think, I feel like a lot of people within Christianity might not say it, but function the same way. I think we carry over the bad way of loving people a little too much in the church. And, like, belief systems. It's easy to love. Well, some people would say it's easy to love Christians. I think it's harder to love Christians sometimes, but it's hard to love people who believe differently than me. And if they have a disagreement with my belief, then it's, I'm like, on edge. And,
in Christian denominations, some people are like, oh, you're an AG. Oh my, I'm not gonna be around. I'm not even gonna talk to you about stuff. Because, like, you know, there's just such division in different denominations. And we met with somebody at lunch on Sunday, and they were just, like, saying how in another country that they're from, like, when you love Jesus, that's just the religion.
Yeah.
And here we have so many, like, almost like tribal separation. And it's like we create almost this, like, micro cults that we all establish based off of our opinions of what we want to believe and, like, what we want to agree with. And if they don't have that shared opinion, we separate them into a different cult.
Yeah, they were. That was interesting, that conversation. They're from Chile, and they attended technically a Baptist church. And then when he came to America, they found a Baptist church.
And
he was like, this is not. And so then he found out, he's like, okay, Baptist belief, but it was more Pentecostal, like, in service, in the way that they worshiped God. And
but he was saying, like, every church you go to, it was all the same.
It was a lot more Pentecostal. It was a lot more, like, Holy Spirit driven.
Yeah, but they just had a concept of Jesus, and it was centered just on focus of Jesus and giving him the praise rather than having division on how we preach the gospel.
Yeah.
But
that is weird.
I think a big culture thing, though, because America is filled with different cultures.
Yeah.
Other countries are single cultures.
That's true.
Heavily. So, like, we literally are the melting pot. So we have multiple culture influences within denominations.
Right.
And I'm just going to say, I don't think you were speaking out against denominations, like, as a whole. Denominations as, like, organizations are good.
Oh, absolutely not.
Division
happens.
Right. The way that one denomination views another denomination in a negative light, that's bad.
Yes.
But a denomination in and of itself is not bad.
Oh,
I'm
no.
just drawing that clarification.
Oh, yeah,
depending on the denomination. But anyway, I'm just
this
kidding.
This is true. No, I mean, that's true.
It's just like saying a point and then completely contradicting, depending on the denomination. But
if it's not, like, focused on biblical truth, it's not Christianity. So,
yes.
But, theory.
Oh, I do have a tangent. We'll save it for another episode. I do have a tangent.
Say it out loud.
It's not as much a tangent, but something else that I have been learning recently, which we should talk about, is the Orthodox Church, the Orthodox belief system. The split into Catholicism and then the Reformation back to how we would see church. I've learned a lot about that history recently.
Did you learn more from the podcast we listened to at one point?
Yeah.
That was really
good. Because then I bought...
That was eye-opening for me.
Which I don't recommend people buy, because I think if you don't do your research, you could do something wrong. But I had ended up getting an Orthodox study Bible because it was free on Amazon Kindle. I keep getting stuff. But it had the history of the
Amazon
Orthodox.
Amazon Kindle, sponsor us.
For real. But it just had a lot of good history. Either way, we should talk about that sometime when we talk about denominations more. But we're talking about loving people.
Yeah, another type of person that I think makes it difficult to love is people that potentially seem interested, seek advice, but then completely ignore advice. I think that's another...
Full circle. Oh, sorry.
You wanted to talk about loops and circles before.
I was just saying, we just talked about this before the podcast started, that I'm in that situation right now. It seems like I'm talking.
Don't worry, you don't listen. You don't listen to the podcast, so
what? Yeah. If this is you, you're not listening right now.
No, just kidding. No one knows what I'm talking about. But it's true. But I was agreeing with you, Rob.
That's a difficult situation as well. How do you love someone who doesn't seem to respect the thing that you're offering,
or when they offer or ask for advice and they are not listening to take that said advice? It's like, okay, like, do I keep giving you like advice when you're asking, when you don't even listen to it?
Yeah. Or just even when corrections are involved, whether it's you're being corrected or you've got to correct, or you're in a position where you need to correct. That's another hard situation to make sure that love is involved, because sometimes it can come across as this is an obligation, this is something I know I need to do. And if you don't bring love into it, and remember, I'm a Christian first, and like, this isn't just about the business side of things, this is how Jesus needs this or would want this. Like bringing it full circle, saying everything in love, doing everything in love.
And how to, like, talking from the believer's point of view, how do we love unbelievers in the ways that we believe, but also know that they don't believe what we believe? Like, that can be hard when, like, you know, you're friends with people that don't believe that the word of God is true. Yeah. They are living their own life. And like, that causes, I think, one of the biggest separations from friendships and relationships.
So what does it look like to love and respect somebody who doesn't believe the same way?
Right.
I have a thought process on being a highly offendable Christian. Being a Christian who can't love people because their temper gets in the way. So if you don't study enough apologetics, and then someone has a disagreement with your faith, some Christians have a tendency to get heated over it. And I know I did for a long time. Like, if someone had, even if it was a Christian that had bad theology, I would get all heated. And it would be this big ordeal when people disagree, and like, you know, you have to talk people through. And either way, my thought process on that is, when you have a hard time with people who believe differently than you, I think that's a sign that your belief is very weak and your belief system is really weak, and you're not strong enough in your faith to defend what you believe. And so if someone has a disagreement, you have this heated reaction because you thought the blind faith was enough, but they have this one thing that blows up your blind faith, and now you're all heated because you weren't ready to defend that. Yeah. And I do think that you can be a lot less offended with people with different beliefs if you know why you believe what you believe really well. I just think that's a safe thing. So like, if you find yourself, it's hard to love people who don't believe in God, and I'm angry when people say they don't believe in God, it's probably because you don't have a good belief system that informs you why you believe in God, and you're not ready to hear that. And so you get heated when someone has kind of a debate in that sense. That's just a thought. So the way to work through that, I think, is really investigating your own faith a lot, which doesn't, sorry, I'm tangenting off of the love thing, but that was my thought on
that. I think that's on topic. I think that's like one of many ways that it could go. I don't think that's the only, like, the only prescription.
No.
Yeah.
I think pride can be it's like 100%. The over-encompassing, like, you might know everything about your faith, or like, you, not everything, but you might understand why you believe what you believe fully, and you have such pride issues. And
yeah, that's true.
That too. When someone disbelieves you, you get ticked off.
Yeah.
And then you shut down like a toddler.
Yeah, I think... In my
Jeremy,
if you're listening, we're not talking about, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, just add on to the fact of what you were saying and stuff. In my personal life, I had a childhood relationship with a friend of mine, and
just
I think,
my name.
Huh?
I'm just kidding.
Say my name.
Oh, no. But I think one thing that helps with loving others through challenges and disagreements is creating a safe place and creating time for that person and building that relationship with that person. And I found that, like, in my childhood, I had a friend that we never seemed like, we never connected with our, like, our, we just disagreed on so many topics. And at that time, I was younger, but somehow my faith was strong enough to have these difficult conversations with him that I knew I didn't follow, I didn't agree to what he was, the way he was living his life. And, you know, over time, a lot of things would come out of his life that he was really struggling with, and it had a lot to do with his upbringing. It was the lack of a father. There was a lot of childhood issues, lots of verbal abuse. And so he was struggling with a lot of these problems. And I didn't know that until later a relationship was built where he had the safe space to talk to me about those things. And even though I didn't agree with a lot of what he said, he still had a safe place. And we had such a strong relationship that, you know, over the course of probably about 7 to 10 years of that relationship, I hadn't seen him in a long time, but probably about 10 years ago, we met up at Panera Bread, and he had told me that that relationship we built was one of the best relationships he had in his childhood. And, like, we still don't see eye to eye on anything. He doesn't live the life that I think would be best, but, you know, that's, he's not a believer, so I can't hold him to those standards. But we've been able to, I've been able to speak in his life, and same with him. Like, he's been able to speak into my life. And we allow that place of the safe space and the time that takes. Like, I think we live in a culture and a generation where everything is immediate. If you don't get satisfaction of a good relationship within, you know, a month, you're just, you check them out. You're done. You're not even going to put the time and energy into it. But it does require time and effort to build a good relationship with that said person that you disagree with, to cultivate a safe place to talk about those hard things.
Yeah. I think if we're kind of moving into the phase of the of this where we talk about if you relate to any of those things, or any of those types of people where you, maybe you know of a person that you're thinking of a person that maybe you don't, that you're having a hard time loving because of one of the things that we spoke about, let's talk through, you know, we just talked about safe spaces, like creating a safe space where you can have, and giving it time and stuff like that. Let's talk about how we have loved people in those types of situations, and what we think the best way of going about it would be. I think just to set as a basis for this is, I think a lot of people can fake it in a way. In Marina, you kind of actually mentioned it to me earlier today, but sometimes love to the world doesn't look like love from like a biblical love. So right. Did you want to kind of just mention that?
Yeah, there's just the basic truth. Like, our culture is constantly saying, if you loved, you would affirm stuff like that. Like, you would affirm and support me if you loved me, when that's not at all what we're taught in scripture. We're taught that love is just, and love is truthful, and love is patient, and love is kind. So it's all of those things. It's not just love is kind, so I have to be nice to you no matter what. There's a kindness in truth. And so if I'm dealing with somebody that is a Christian that I disagree with and I see is living a sinful life, I'm not going to affirm that sin. I'm not going to say, you know what, like, we both love Jesus, you're fine. Like, I'm not going to judge you. It's kind of me to point this out and to at least tell you, I very much disagree, and these are the reasons why. So yeah, just stuff like that. Like, culture says loving equals affirming. Scripture says love is much bigger than affirmation.
Yeah, and I'd like to also just point out as like a baseline that our sinful nature, humankind, mankind, our sinful nature, love doesn't come naturally to us when it comes to these situations. I think it's very easy. The Bible mentions different situations and relationships where it's easy for you to love somebody who loves you. You're a father to love a child. Why would a father give a child a snake if he asked for some bread? Like all that kind of stuff where it's just you, it's very easy to love people that love you. It does not come naturally to us as human beings to love people that disagree,
right.
that just are on the opposite end of the aisle as you. And that's where I think as Christians, we need to recognize that it's our space. This is why Christ died for us. And that he is the only answer and he is who we look to as an example on how to love people that disagree and that are just different than us. How do we love a non-believer? How do we love somebody who does believe? The Bible says directly, you will know the people that love me by the way that they treat my other followers, the people around them. And so that's super important. This is so important because this is how people know Jesus. This is how people know that we follow Jesus. Is if we treat each other well, if we love each other well, and if we have a hard time doing that, what are we missing?
Right. And if we bear Christ's name, it's not a choice for us. We have to love. Like, we have to extend our love to those people, even if it's hard, because it's going against what our natural instinct is, and that's to find our own little cults and gravitate towards that. And I can speak on a personal level. I naturally, my group of people are believers, and that's okay to have like-minded people that can help be influential in your life and in your walk. But if you only are encapsulating yourself in what in believers, how are you to learn to grow in your character and in how you are to be with other people that don't believe in what you believe? And so I've had in the past, I'd say a couple of years, is to really like push myself outside of that comfort box that I'm comfortable in and do the things that are unnatural for me. And that is to love people that don't share the same opinion that I do. And how do I explain the grace and the freedom that Jesus has given me to them in a loving and truthful way?
Mm-hmm. There was a study that I read about. It just makes me think about the idea of how we only love what? Are you making fun of me?
Oh, no, I was just cracking my neck again.
Oh, okay. I thought she was like, here he goes again.
It looked really intentional the way that you swung your neck at him.
Sorry. No. There was a study that I read recently that was this idea of how people will gravitate towards like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
But they went to do this study on children where at a school, it was a larger school, they had, I don't know if they either talked to the parents to coordinate it or they gave them shirts when they got there, but they had half of the class wear blue shirts and half of the class wear red shirts. And they just studied what happens if for no reason you created two categories with a group of people. And at first it was normal. And throughout the day, the colors started hanging out more. And so your red shirts started being together more often and the blue shirts were separate. At the end of the day, the people doing the study sat down with the kids and all they asked was like, so what team's the best? And everyone answered their color shirt or like, you know, who's the nicest in the classroom? They'd be like, the blues are pretty nice, but if they had a red shirt, they'd be like, but the reds are the nicest. And these kids within one day made this mental decision that the people dressed like me are the ones I get along with.
That's crazy.
And who knows, they probably needed therapy for the rest of their life. They always went to but it was proving this point of like inherently we seek out those who are living the same life as us, that are doing the same things as us. And if we're not careful, we will inherently start to get a belief that that's better than
That's good.
Everyone else. And so it's this idea of like maturity in your faith is stepping outside of loving just those who are like you. Yeah. And if you don't have a community that's diverse, it shows that you're still functioning in this,
comfort zone.
Like, I only want to be around people that are like me.
Yeah.
And so it's just an interesting study that they did. And that was the big challenge in that part of the book that was like, you need friends that don't look like you, that are a different skin color than you, that are a different background of you, because it grows you and breaks you free from the mentality of like, no, people who are like me are just better, they're safer.
That reminds me, that it makes me think of, why don't we give the reason why we should break out of those comfort zones? Like, what's the purpose? Why, like, if it's comfortable and I don't have to create conflict, I don't need to make waves, why am I gonna cause an issue? You know, if loving this person, can't it just look like me leaving that person alone and never talking to them again?
I think we have to really focus on the eternal perspective, because in this world, everyone is divided by culture and by religion and whatever. But when we're in heaven, we are all going to be one, right? Like, we are all going to be unified. We're all going to be in heaven. And to have that thought be our focus, like, oh, wait, I'm not just going to gravitate towards this person, this type of person, because they look like me. Because in heaven, I'm going to be seeing a bunch of different people that I've never seen before, or I've never been, like, you know, naturally gravitating towards believing. Do you believe that? I guess that's it. Do you think we'll have our own?
I don't think so. If the church wasn't all about reaching those and loving those who were, if the church wasn't about reaching those who weren't like them, we would never know the love of God, because we look nothing like early church, right? We have no, well, Maria a little bit, she's got darker skin, but.
It's very pretty.
But like, it never would have made it.
No.
And so why is it important for Christians, I believe, is because we'll turn into a club and the gospel will stop spreading. Not that kind of club, not the party club. I know the guy that owns this place. sorry. But either way, right? Does that answer the question? Is that what you were thinking? Well, was there more that you were thinking?
Kind of. You guys made me think of more.
Just because I was talking about the eternal perspective, what we culturally see in this world.
No, and that's okay. I think I was more so thinking of the mystery of the gospel that God revealed to Paul, was the idea that it's not just the Jews, it's the Gentiles too,
right.
It's everybody. So the whole mystery of it all was that God is for everybody, and he loves everyone, wants everybody in his family. Mm. And so for us to basically seclude ourselves, oh, we've got it, all right, let's go hide away and be monks and, you know, or hermits in the woods and just be Christians there. That's not the gospel. That's, you're like, I'm sure that those people had a reason for what they did and all of that. But I believe that to bring the gospel to the edge of the ends of the earth is our calling, is the Great Commission, and to continue that on.
And it was modeled all throughout the New Testament.
Right. But people are different, right? Everybody's different. And I don't know that we're talking as much about people that are different. We're talking about, what you made me think of, Jay, was in your analogy or the study that you brought up, Christians are sometimes drawn to other Christians, for the most part drawn to other Christians. And so I guess that turns into the question of why should we love outside of the Christian.
The bubble.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it hits on the same types of issues, but it's a different question than the one that we initially came with. Wrong.
Sorry.
No, you're not wrong. It's a beautiful point.
Topic
no, it was
every
great.
Second.
I don't think that's true.
I don't
true.
Think you did. You did not. It was. I'm just trying to like make sure that we answer the questions of why, like, are we? How do we love them? How do we love people that are difficult to love?
Something that came to my mind, kind of Marie, as you were talking, was the idea of like, people think to love me is to affirm me. But one thing that we try and do is we try and love people into a life that is sustainable, right? And the only life that's sustainable is a life where God is in it. Like, and so you can't affirm your child into things that will kill your child. That's not loving your child. My kid loves eating the gel packets within the jerky. right? Like, that's not true. Gosh. That's, I'm just saying, like, if your kid loves eating the little stay dry packets, you don't affirm, like, well, it's just, they love it. They love it so much. Right. It's like,
they were born that way.
It's like, you don't ingest that. That will kill you. And because we know it, we need to love our child out of that and into a place of life.
Try the jerky, Levi.
Try the jerky that's in it.
Not the poison. The food, not the poison.
And so similarly, when people think we are hating people because we don't affirm it, not only at this point, I think it's ridiculous for us to say we're hateful or we're bigots or we're whatever else you want to say it. At this point, not only scripturally do we see life decisions that kill us spiritually, also physically. There's plenty of those too. Like, but at this point, we have so many statistics that prove these lifestyles that the world would tell us to affirm is killing people. Mm. Literally, to suicide, to being in an abusive home where they get murdered. Like, there is a lifestyle that we're being taught as a culture to affirm where we're driving people to kill themselves.
Or we don't even confront it and we shy away from confronting.
Yeah, we just act like it's not a big deal because we're too scared of it. But for us not to love someone enough to carry them through it,
right.
It's not love. Like, you don't just watch your kid play off a cliff because they're so cute playing. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. No, you're gonna pull them away from the cliff. And obviously, right. We always turn to like kid analogies because I think
But there's a key point in there too. A child has a close relationship with the father. There's a tight-knit relationship, and that's what's important about a lot of these things is we need to be building relationships with these people.
Yes. So either way, I think that's a big thing of like, that's why we can't affirm. We have enough people to listen to. I don't want to beat around the bush. That's why we can't affirm people who are questioning their gender, who are questioning their sexuality, because statistics are proving more and more that that community has the highest suicide rate. And that community has the most people who are looking to no longer be in that community after years of being a part of it. It's the same thing when people are like, oh, you don't love me even though I want to have an abortion. And no, we do love you. And in fact, we know enough people who have had abortions that live their life in regret that were trying to love you out of making a decision that might make you suicidal or might make you regret your entire life. We don't want that. Also, we love the life that's inside of you as well. Right. And so there's like so many things of like, we don't want you to be hurt. But I think the viewpoint is more like we love hurting people. Christians love hurting people. Yeah. I think there are plenty of Christians that love hurting people or people who wear the title.
Yeah, Christian. We're in a very emotions-driven culture.
Mm. Yeah.
So like if someone's happiness is threatened or stripped away from them, like they think that there's hatred there.
Yeah.
But we're, as Christians, not called to necessarily make people happy. We're called to bring people life.
Yeah, make people whole.
Yeah, and so that brings joy, but that doesn't mean that at the beginning or even all throughout there isn't pain and there isn't sorrow. And so like we're working through that with somebody right now where like their life has high potential for being transformed. And they're struggling because their identity is being stripped away to them. But it's just like the case of like, let me show you what it's like to take on a new identity.
Yeah, right.
And then you won't even know that you're being stripped of a different one because of the one you're putting on is so much better.
It checks every box you think that you're still trying to check.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. Mm.
Sorry, we were all just thinking.
I had such a deep thought that I wasn't ready to share.
Still not?
Yeah, probably not.
I think it's one thing that we were talking about, like that you were talking about the children and all of that. with that children's statistic, that study that had happened. But I was just thinking, this was kind of funny because back on when we were out at lunch with some friends on Sunday, it was funny because we sat at the table and their son was like, we were like, oh, you got kids all sit together and hang out. And the kid goes, no. And we were just like, whatever. Like, but Levi strategically, like throughout the whole time, kept inching his way closer. He wanted to keep going over to this kid and kept, he just was persistent.
Yeah.
And eventually,
Levi? Persistent.
Eventually, they were having the time of their life and having a good time together. And if it wasn't for his act of being persistent in pursuing this relationship with this kid.
Oh, what a beautiful analogy.
Yeah. That's so cool. He just, and it just became this.
Some of the things that can be the hardest part about our children is like their best quality. Yeah.
So cool. Yes. How do we cultivate the good part? Right?
That's such a hard.
That's
so cool.
Rob's crying over here.
That's precious.
Yeah, no,
that's cool. Levi, he's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I had to bring that up because I was thinking of it and I was like, oh man, like this is a good analogy of what we should be doing and how we should act as people, and not to be like maybe that forward, but I mean,
hey. Yeah. Little bit closer. Yeah.
The child, man, they don't
respect,
have any
people's
care.
Boundaries.
Well, it's just funny because like even the kid with just no filter, no, like okay.
Yeah, he was just.
Could you imagine if we were talking
about?
I hear
you, but I raise you a scoot closer.
No, he wasn't rude. He was just like very. He was straightforward. No, I don't want to. Could you imagine if we as adults were just like, let's go. No.
No.
I don't wanna.
Actually, not interested at all.
Thinking.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. Like we're not like truthful with our thoughts sometimes. What would happen if the world was just so? We'd
hurt a lot of people.
Gen Z.
Yeah. All right, Rob, final chance because we're running at the end of the episode.
Oh.
You got your deep thought worked out?
Oh, no. I lost it when we all thought it was an awkward moment, but it was like I was there for a minute and then I realized we were in an awkward space.
We were because we were all in deep thoughts.
Sorry. Can I share the thing? Can we talk about for the last 10 minutes or so? The voice memo that I sent, because the idea.
As long as you think we answered the question sufficiently, do we all think we answered the question sufficiently? How do we love people properly?
I think we've narrowed it down.
We need to love them. We need to love them not for what they want, but we need to love them to life. Mm-hmm. Right?
L'chaim.
L'chaim. To life. So life. We need to love them to
L'chaim.
To a place of wholeness, not happiness, right? Mm-hmm. That's our goal.
Yeah.
We need to love people outside of our belief system. What else do we say?
I feel like if people have questions, send them in. Like,
yeah.
You're right.
We're excited to answer questions
and
talk about them.
If we didn't answer it, you send something in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your problem.
I feel like we might be losing power in this building.
Yeah, that's fine. No one notices.
Okay.
But us.
Well, no, wouldn't we lose this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So what's your thought, Jay?
All right. So I was reading the other day, I sent you guys a voice memo, and now I have to say it like you've never heard it
you
before.
Just
I need
play
you to
the
react
voice memo.
Like, whoa. But reading the parable of the net that Jesus talked through, and he talked about the kingdom of God is like a net being cast out, catching just a slew of fish. When the fishermen pull them up, they sort out the bad ones from the good ones. But I had also read like sort out the dead ones, the ones you caught that were already dead, and keep the ones that are alive, right? That's the kind of fish that fishermen are gonna try and sell, like the fresher ones. And then it talks to you, so, you know, at the end during judgment, the angels will come down, they'll sort through the fish, picking out the bad ones and keeping the ones that are alive. And I don't know why, I just immediately had the thought of, well, one, thinking through when Jesus called the disciples to be fishers of men. So the whole thought process I had is, one, that the kingdom of God being here now on earth, it is catching people left and right. People who believe and people who don't believe. This net is just spreading and catching people. Mm. And the thought crossed my head of how many fish does this net catch where the method we were fishing with was actually the method that killed the fish? And so the whole thing I sent you guys was like the idea of like inhumane fishing and the way us as pastors, the way we share the gospel. And so the reason why I thought it tied to it is the way that we share God's love with people. That's why we're called to such a high standard as pastors. That's why woe to the teachers of the gospel, because if we're catching people in a way that still leads them to death, then not only does this analogy happen and we're sorted through like this person never followed God, but they were caught up in the kingdom and you were the one to catch them because of your false gospel, you know, all this stuff. And so it just got me down this deep thought of how many people are we catching that we're killing because we're not loving the way we should. And we're telling them to come to church and never change their lifestyle. We're telling them to, God is more of a motivational speech than a call to something that we were created to do. And we end up catching, we're baiting them into our culture, but we're not leading them to life. And so by the time judgment comes, the angels are there, we've led all these fishes into the kingdom that we've caught violently almost because we haven't loved them well and we haven't cared for them well. So I just thought that was like a really like, oh man, what a high calling, right? And so like one thing that always hits me is the idea of like my family's trajectory could have ended, I spit a little bit.
I thought you just were showing me love.
Love you. My family's trajectory could have been a lot different than it is now and how we're seeing it because my father served at an abusive church and I believe that they killed his faith because he went to leadership. He asked advice and the leadership told him to leave because he was too different from them. And I just believe that analogy sums up so well of they caught him violently and they treated him so poorly that by the time the net gets pulled out of the water, he's already dead because of how he was treated. And I see that over and over again. And we see like this spiritual abuse or this like compromising what the gospel is because we get more people and all this other stuff. But it's a violent way to catch people. And so to love people well, we want to spread that net in a way that pulls up living fish. Not, you know.
And just as a, if you are loving people well, don't take that, like take it as the warning and be careful. Like I think that we all need to be, but also recognize that if people are leaving your church or they're frustrated or they get hurt in your church, you also have to recognize that the whole parable of the soil is still in effect as well. Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's they're just the soil's not ready yet. Don't shoot yourself. I think that's
why
that.
I think that's why Jesus had so many parables of the kingdom of God is like you can't sum up one and take, we have to take it in the context of every parable he shared. But that was just the tangent of my mind. And so when we talked about like loving people, I thought like that's another good way to love is to not compromise on what you know the truth is. And you need to follow that.
So
that's a good woe.
I think that's really good. It's a huge temptation, I think, of modern churches to water down the gospel. And so many succumb to that temptation because, like we talk about often, what you win people with is what you win people to. So if you give them a watered-down gospel and then you try to, like, put in, like, the real gospel eventually, they're going to be like, what is this? I didn't sign up for this. Like, I signed up for that thing over there where I could still sleep with whoever I wanted to sleep with or I could still get wasted every night. Like, then you say, oh, well, God actually is calling you to something different. And they're like, I'll believe in a different God.
That's not what you told me.
Right. So that's, I think, super relevant to us.
Yeah.
But also, like, even if you're not a pastor or a leader in a church, like, you still have a voice in that. And so I think that's important for all Christians to be aware of. Like, you can't water down the gospel to the people that you're loving. And if your church is watering down the gospel, maybe have a conversation.
And then potentially think to yourself, am I at church because of any other thing but Jesus? Am I at church because I either have to be, because the band is nice, because I like the show, it's pretty cool? Am I at church because it's got a cool place where I can drop off my kids and I can head out? Like, are you coming to church for any other reason but Jesus? Yeah. Because Jesus is the only thing that's gonna make church really make sense, yeah, and make things real for you.
Yeah. That's good. It's awesome.
Cool.
All right. No part two on this one. No, we did it. We hit
Are
one
we missing
topic.
A part two for something?
No,
still?
We. Oh, okay, good. We're good. We did it last. The last
no, we're still missing the same part. Two.
Oh, but that one's two. Never going to.
That
come.
Was like in the beginning of our
we
podcast.
Don't care about guys, that. Love you.
Do we even know what that See you episode was?
Nope.
Yeah, we do. We talk about it last.
See you in a meeting.
What was it? See you in a
meeting. We're not having a meeting right now. Okay. We're ending the podcast. Bye.
Bye.
See you.